Oh my God, we're connected.
Wow.
It's a miracle.
Awesome.
Three people, three Generation X actually did something technical and made it happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad this is working. Sounds good.
No.
For sure.
DJ AL, we're
I'm
so
excited.
for having you.
Awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
I've been listening to your guys's work, and I think it's really cool and important what you're doing.
Oh,
Thank you.
thank you. We were yesterday when we were trying to get you on, we were talking so much about all the stuff that you've done and basically your whole entire resume and who you've worked with and all the, I don't know how you do it. I mean, it's nonstop. Nonstop.
To try it again, you're breaking up.
Wait, I can hear you guys now.
Okay. Can you hear Aaron?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. AL, you still on? Did we lose him?
Think we did.
Oh, shoot. I wonder if he can get back on. He just got off.
Yeah, he was doing the request part. I think that's what I told him to do. Yeah, he broke up. I couldn't hear him for a second.
I know.
Wow, digital. Everyone in the world. This is fun. Especially,
Is he
yeah.
gonna come back on?
You have to try it again.
Jeez. Okay. I'll try it again. Okay. Oh, wait.
Here we go.
Okay. You're back
So
on.
all right, so I'm gonna take a guess and say that maybe my phone service is what the problem is, possibly.
Well, sometimes it's my phone service, so I don't know if it was yours or
It could
mine.
be mine too.
Okay, well, I'm standing next to a window,
You sound here.
at this like sweet spot in my house, and
Okay.
so
So are you in Denver as we speak?
yes, I'm in Denver. Yeah, I'm like basically Southeast Denver.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were thinking last night that you were performing in Portland.
But
Oh.
that was a mistake because I was reading about the 90s dance party, the Snap.
Right.
And I read the very beginning part and then whatever. I was just grazing and it said Portland, Oregon. I was like, "Oh, he's in Portland, Oregon." But that's just where it started.
Right.
Are you
Have you
from
ever performed in
Oregon?
Portland?
Yeah, I've done a couple small mini tours in the Northwest.
Okay.
And yeah, so I'm a promoter for the Snap 90s Dance Party in Denver, and it did originate in Portland.
Okay.
And so I've made it back out there to play the original party and stuff like that. We're also in Seattle. I've played that party, and a couple years ago I went on a nice run of about like 2 weeks, just kind of playing throughout Portland and Seattle and the Bay Area and stuff like that. And that's probably the longest like mini tour that I've ever put together. But I definitely have a lot more respect for people that are on the road full time because it took a lot of energy from me.
Oh my, yeah, definitely. And Snap has become one of the most popular dance parties in Colorado.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I mean, you don't really see it a lot, like in the magazines, we don't get a lot of nods, but I mean, the party has sold out every month for over 2 years.
And why don't they post? They don't ever say anything about it?
Like I think that there's a lot of politics with just kind of like, press and the way magazines are kind of rolled out. So it's really, or in a lot of ways, they don't really know what's going on either, because I think a lot of writers and editors at some of these like kind of music mags or music zines, they don't ever go out. So they,
Oh, okay.
you know, so it's just kind of word of mouth. And my friend told me that this party's really good, and so they kind of have their own way to You know, in short, I don't want to like start off on a very negative thing, but I think that there's a method that a lot of like blogs, Colorado blogs and magazines do, where they basically will give somebody an award or nominate somebody for an award so they can drive traffic to their website or their magazine, right? So
gotcha.
We're not really too concerned about like getting nominated as like the best dance party, but we kind of know that you know, I don't see
you're like we obviously go
hey, you gotta know.
Yeah, I mean, we get the spoils.
You're done for the night and you're like, I killed it. That's hands down.
Right. I mean, and it just goes to show that like we just got out of meetings a couple nights ago with some, you know, some other venues that are basically like, you know, I guess could be seen as being, you know, kind of wanting to, you know, take our crowd to their venue. So I would just say without like naming names, all the biggest venues in Denver have, you know, come to the table to negotiate with us. And, we're still throwing the party at Ophelia's, which is a really it's a really intimate venue, but it's a really nice venue. And we really feel like we're at home there. It's about 350, 400 people capacity a night.
Yeah.
Would you want to expand it? Would you want to have more of a crowd than that?
I think, yeah, I mean, we would love to, you know, expand, but I think everything's got to be right. And I think that, it's just, everything is going so good that, we don't want to, we're expanding by taking our party and our brand and our DJs into other venues as well. So right now we're also, playing, at a sports bar in Denver that's called Stoney's. And we're also playing at a gay bar in Denver that's called, the Triangle. So we're like, we're doing like 90s house on that night, and then we're doing like more you know, we're just diversifying our portfolio.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so it's pretty good. So that's just kind of one of the things that I'm really promoting that, you know, definitely takes up a lot of time.
Yeah, and then doing jams on the side, right?
Say that again.
Doing jams on the side.
Yeah, you know, I mean, then there's also that element of doing B-boy jams, which I love. And, you know, I guess I don't know if Colorado's had that many jams in the last, like, couple years. Like, I think it might have slowed down, but a few years ago it was just really, like, a jam every weekend, you know?
Right,
So, yeah, I really kind of cut my teeth over the last, like, you know, five plus years of doing like a B-boy jam at least once a month for, you know, 5 years basically.
Right.
So B-boy tracks wise, top three tracks, what are your favorite?
There you go. I'm with it.
That's really hard to say. Like, you know, I do a lot of my own production, so I like doing a lot of remixing and stuff. But you know, a lot of people don't want to hear the classics, but you know, I'm you know, I think the classics are what built, you know, the whole culture and stuff like that. So, probably some stuff from the classics, but let me give it some thought and let me circle back around.
Okay.
That's a tough question.
My favorite, yeah. My number one is Joyous.
Joyous. Okay.
Yeah. I love it. I love the entire track and I just get so excited whenever I hear it. It's just one of those that it's like, as soon as I hear it, I'm like, oh, you know, and I just want to just get down. It's insane. It just lights me up. I love, love, love Joyous. And the first time I heard the entire track of that was, do you know who Forrest is? Forrest Gump?
Yeah, definitely. We've never met, but you know, his reputation is definitely precedes himself, you know?
Yeah. Well, he used to spin at jams all the time in New York when I lived in Philly, and I would go over to his house and he had so many crazy records. Like, now he owns a record store in Ohio. He owns a record store. So crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So he played that entire track and I was like, oh my God, like losing my mind.
I have an artist or a group that I'd like to mention because, you know, we're also talking about, you know, when we talk about B-boy breaks, we're talking about artists that are, you know, that made these songs like, you know, 40 years ago. But I do want to shout out, and he does make some of my favorite breaks in his band. But the band called Fusic, and they're based out of Florida. And if you listen to like a lot of the last couple mixtapes that I've done, there's at least like two of his joints. His name is Felix. Felix is kind of the band leader, but they're kind of like a progressive psych rock funk group, and they're B-boys as well. So it's like they know what the flavor is, and it's just a really organic thing. They record a reel to reel. They press up their tracks to 45s, you know, so it's there's vinyl involved in the process. So definitely want to shout them out, because I could probably go on and on about like artists that are, you know, bands that don't even exist anymore, right? And we really appreciate that stuff, but it's like, you know, there's only a few bands that are really keeping the tradition alive, you know, and if you think about it, right?
Absolutely.
So
yeah. Well, I mean, on that tip, I mean, it's not a band, but you're obviously familiar with B-Boy Wicket.
Yeah.
He lives in Austin, and he's now more of a music producer. Have you guys ever connected? Because you guys seem very much on the same page.
I don't think so. I know the name, and I know, you know, I know his fame and everything like that, but I don't think we might have met maybe one time or something like that, but I don't think we've ever connected, so.
Yeah. Well, you guys are just hardworking people, you know, and it's just your resume is so impressive. You've gotten to work with such legends, artists, you know, producers, and you're producing, and it's just really, it seems like your career is like a dream come true for you.
In a lot of ways it is. It's crazy how everything's really come full circle. Just being able to like do what I do for a living. And I think, there's other people that DJ for a living, and I'm not trying to knock anybody, but there really wasn't an example of like, hey, you can do this. You can go and play B-boy breaks, or you can go and play 90s music, or you can go and make beats and you can make a living from it. You know, there was other examples of like, you know, you could be a club DJ or you can be a wedding DJ and make good money. But, when I really kind of sought after, like, starting my legacy and just really going after it, there really wasn't that many examples of, and there still isn't, you know, I guess on the level that I'm at, of people that are kind of blue collar DJs, you know, that are still able to do what they love, you know, so.
Yeah. Right, doing the grind.
Huge props for that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hope that you always and forever continue doing this, because you are one of the rare ones that seem to really have it together. Which brings me to, your website is incredible.
Oh, thank you.
No, who put it together? But it is.
I have to check it out. I've never seen it. I didn't. Okay.
Shout out to Tristan, and we could probably leave like a link or something, and I can give everybody her contact information. But she does an incredible job on it.
Oh, my gosh.
She's a Colorado creative, so you know if you're bouncing around at parties throughout Denver, you'll see her. She's just really good, really good person, and you know, getting a website built, it could be kind of challenging, you know, finding the right person. And the last person that was supposed to work on my website like quit on me and said I was difficult. So.
Well, when it's your website, you get to be however you want to be. It's your website. So,
yeah.
But yeah. She did. I have to give her huge props, because I was really, really impressed by that. I haven't seen a really well done website from head to toe. I mean, it looks great. The picture of, you know, just your hands was really nice, and just it laid out really well and was so easy to navigate and see where you are and what parties, and everything's up to date. So it's, I mean, that's impressive.
That's really good feedback to hear.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I think a big part of people taking you serious is you taking yourself serious, you know, so.
Totally agree.
There's a lot of people that are very talented, but it's like they don't, it's like, do they not believe in themselves? I don't know. But yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And I'm not willing to like, you know, I always see the investment in like hiring professionals to like, whether it's photography to take for, you know, photos or videos or a website or anything like that, you know?
Right.
Okay.
I think that's a really important thing, important topic that you bring up, and I don't want to dwell on it for too long, but you know, in the B-boy, I don't know, I guess I'll just say hip hop umbrella community, there is and can be a real lack of this business side to it. It's like, you know, all the creative and the dance and all that stuff comes together and is fantastic. But then when it comes to this other side, there is a real disconnect. And I think a lot of it does, just like you said, you know, comes down to whether or not they believe that, or, you know, that they can make a living off of this. And that in order to, you do have to play onto this business side. You have to put almost as much as you put into your practice as you put into this other side.
Right.
You know, and some people don't want to do that, and that's totally fine. Barmack, he actually works for Adidas right now. He's a clothing designer, and he b-boys on the side just for fun. And he's, you know, so it's like, it doesn't have to be, but if you want it to be, you have to, you know, look into that side, and there's a maturity that has to go along with that.
That's a very good point. I think, you know, just want to say, like, out of all the elements of hip hop, you know, breaking is probably the most exploited, right? Like, it's been the element that's been taken advantage of the most. You know, people, you know, you'll see Justin Timberlake in a halftime, you know, halftime show, and who knows how much you make for something like that. But, you know, there might be a dancer in the mix within that halftime show that's maybe getting paid $50 and a t-shirt or something, right? And so I understand that, like, B-boys can be really apprehensive when it comes to, like, talking about business and stuff like that. But I think if you, you know, you can kind of, like, carve your own lane and stuff like this, and you can make it into a business. And if you do what you love, I mean, wouldn't you want to, you know, free yourself up so you have more time to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah.
If you're working for somebody else, it's, you know, it's just going to be something that gets pushed to the side ultimately.
Yeah. And I totally agree. And I think one of the ways that we can all help each other learn that side is that, you know, we have to at the studios and at these workshops and B-boy events have some time or panels that, you know, people can talk about how to get those kinds of skills, because, and maybe they do still have them, but, and not very many B-boys show up, but whoever does show up is probably more serious about, you know, taking it to that next level.
Right.
But I don't want to harp on that for too long. I just thought that was a good point that you brought up, and, you know, very, you can just tell from that this is your career. You take it very seriously, and that, you know, this is your life.
Yeah.
Which is very impressive.
Yeah, definitely.
You make it happen, bro.
Make it happen.
I was actually going to ask you about the 50 beats in 50 days, like that experience.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I need to hear from you, because I've seen the videos, I listen to the beats, but what was the inspiration behind that? And did you iterate?
Right on. So, so I started this project a couple months ago. It's called 50 Beats in 50 Days. And it was basically like every day I was going to get up and make a beat. And it didn't matter how I was feeling, if I was tired or whatever, I was just going to force myself to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a pretty crazy, like, goal to set for me. Because, you know, a beat a day is like, it's just not really, you know, I'll usually be inspired by life, and then maybe, you know, every 10 days, maybe I'll make a beat or something like that.
Right.
So you're really, you know, the real question is like, where am I going to find the inspiration right away? Right. And so for me, it was an exercise, because I felt like I was like getting rusty at making beats. I've been making beats since 1999. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I felt like, and this is like, now that I look back at it, I'm like, that's kind of ridiculous that you felt like this, kind of like you were getting rusty at it and you did this. But yeah, so I just basically wanted to knock the rust off, and then I also wanted to get better, just and progress and be, be one with my craft every day, and dedicate that time to my craft. And going back to the business side of things, like people think that like if you're a professional DJ that you're making beats and DJing every day, but a lot of times you're answering emails and doing all this stuff. So I wanted to really get away from the clerical aspects of being a professional and do more like just be one with my craft. So I basically, set out to make 50 beats a day or 50 beats in 50 days. 50 beats in a day would be crazy, but
That's like Prince level. Writing a song
And
a day, yeah.
so on top of that, I added an extra challenge to it, and I decided that I wasn't going to be using very many samples. So I'm a sample-based producer, and that's kind of where my heart is at, is in boom bap, traditional hip hop. So in order to add that element, it's like, I had to get even more creative. And I have instruments around the house and stuff like that. I have probably, 10 keyboards or, a dozen keyboards, a dozen drum machines, but I couldn't tell you what chord I'm playing in. So I'm just really, everything's really innate for me to kind of move around the keyboards and stuff like that. So that was the extra challenge as well, as I wanted to do, I wanted to make my instrumentals basically like, have instruments, dictate my instrumentals. So on top of that, there was an extra challenge, and I also kind of in the back of my head knew that it would be really nice to build up a catalog of sample-free music, basically, and to give it to people that are doing podcasts or rapping or anything like that, right?
We definitely
And
need beats.
we could use some beats, that's for sure.
I definitely got you, and that's what I really want to do. And I think that, my philosophy is like really been about giving and just like giving, of yourself and your product unconditionally to people. And that's what I want this to do. So I'm not, I basically compiled all 50 beats down to about 24 of my favorite ones. And I'll be releasing that as kind of like a compilation. You guys will see it in your inbox very soon.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I'm excited.
So I'm just basically going to give all that stuff away as free use. And yeah, so that's probably like the third part of why I did that. So that's
I'm
pretty
still
much it.
rocking your old stuff too.
Nice.
I think that's
So.
so great that you gave yourself that challenge. So after the 50 days, how did you feel?
Well, I felt like I felt pretty accomplished. I feel like it went by really, really quickly, actually. There was never really a moment where I was just like, really upset with myself for giving myself such a high standard, So that was rare. I thought that I would
Oh,
have
crap.
like a meltdown somewhere in between and be like, I'm not making a beat today, and like throw my keyboard out a window or something like that. But everything flowed really well, and I learned one of the really good things that I took from it was I learned a lot more keyboard progressions and stuff like that. So I kind of learned some new chords, and that was really good for me. So
That's so great.
yeah.
That is awesome.
That is so great. Well, one of the things KO and I were talking about you, and I was looking at your website, and I was wondering, because I was looking at that picture of you DJing, and I was like, I wondered, I mean, did
Oh,
you get
yeah,
manicures often? Because your manicure was really nice. Like, I have to say
Oh, man.
that I feel
Well,
like DJs have to get manicures. I mean, everybody's looking at your hands, you know?
because
There
your
was no
hangnails messes up your scratching.
there was no hangnails.
Oh, man. Yeah,
So
no, I don't know about that. I'm like, is this the part of the podcast where they troll you? No manicures.
No, really,
Yeah, no
you're better
manicures.
with your hands
He's just a hand model. You guys.
But I am pretty aware that like I've had a few different photographers that I've worked with over the past, and I definitely want to be the best me, right? So definitely probably clip my nails before a photo shoot, you know.
I think it'd be really cool if you started going to get manicures and, like, you know, that was your thing, you know, that you were like the DJ whose hands were made of gold, you know, and then your manicurist just gets blown up because, you know.
Then you get a gig as a hand model or something.
Yeah, I think you guys are really on to something, because I think somewhere subconsciously, like, it is in my head that, like, if I do something really cool on the turntables, people are probably going to look at my hands, right?
Oh, and so
there is probably a level of, like, self-consciousness that I'm not really tapping into. But I think you guys are onto something.
Too, and the gay men for sure will be looking at, you know, to make sure the nails are clean.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, that's definitely. But anyways, I had to compliment you on that because I thought that was just very impressive. I was like, wow, I think DJs probably have to pay more attention.
I don't know if I've ever looked at your hands. So, you know, okay. I just, like, listen to your skills.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Well, I appreciate
that's what's hip. That's hip hop.
That's hip hop, yo.
It's hip hop right there. Manicured nails.
Well, so I'd love to hear some of your upcoming things that you have coming up, and also whatever shout out you have. We're just so thrilled to have you on our podcast, and we hope that, you know, we just want to continue your legacy and keep spreading the word and support each other. And
sure.
Give you the floor.
Sweet. Well, let me try not to forget anything. I think that, you know, not to, like, you know, give myself a pat on the back too hard, but it's like there's a lot of stuff that's going on and a lot of moving parts. So a lot of times I might do something like this and then get off the phone and I'm like, oh, I forgot to talk about something that I've been working on really hard. But so, you know, I obviously DJ, and the Snap 90s dance party is a big party for me, and you know, my crew, we're definitely doing big things. Like I said, we're DJing a few different bars a month, and then, you know, I have a few different residencies as well. I'm also at Fort Greene with the B-Boy Factory. We're co-facilitating a party over there once a month. And so that's really cool. It's a really dope venue, but the floor is really, like, bouncy. So
that's the spot that that I saw you last, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a really cool, like, hidden gem of Denver, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. I've just been, like, rolling with, like, airbags for my turntables because the needle has been skipping pretty hard over there. But that's not going to slow me down from playing, vinyl, you know? So that's another big part of what I do. I like to spin out vinyl at least a couple times a month. Just kind of, you know, bring it back to the foundation of where it all started.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, I'm a big proponent of Serato as well, you know, just kind of having a foot in both worlds, which is kind of why my company is called Future Classic. I think they're both really important, you know, to embrace. And so I also do a lot of remixing, and I have a new project that's basically out right now. It's called 30 for 30, and it's basically a playoff the ESPN mini documentary series.
Oh, I
love
it. Yeah, which is really that's dope.
What I was thinking when you said that, I was like, oh, 30 for 30. It's a sports. Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the ESPN thing, except for I'm highlighting an artist, like, every day and just kind of, like, remixing their stuff or actually releasing remixes that I've already done that are highlighting artists. Yeah, so I'm kind of dropping the links on those on Instagram and on Facebook, so you can find those, which are pretty cool. But it's a little bit of a side project for me, and it's like really catered to more like DJs and open format DJs and obviously like music lovers. But a lot of that stuff is going to just probably make sense to like the open format DJs that just kind of need another take on, you know, this classic Big Al song or what have you, you know?
Right.
So I do a lot of that stuff. A lot of remixing digitally. Another big part of my production is I'm in, the Denver public school system, anywhere from about 2 to 5 times a week. I teach with the organization called Youth on Record, which is an awesome organization. And we go into a dozen different high schools, and we basically go in there a couple hours a week and show them how to make beats and just kind of keep it real with the kids.
You know? Is so cool.
Yeah. So I'm at North High School and Lincoln High School, and it's just a really crazy opportunity, and I've come full circle with that because I had never completed high school. So it's really the irony of like being a high school. Say that again.
Those are really fulfilling, like when you get to work at the high schools, because you know the kids don't necessarily get those options to work with, you know, artists like yourself all the time. You know, right.
And I mean, it's just, you know, it's always kind of like humbling because you never know if the kids are going to be like, you know, who's this dude. Right. But in my experience, just being like authentic, you know, and, being yourself and showing, you know, mutual respect, it goes a long way. And,
I've made some such great relationships with these kids.
Right. And it's more of a learning experience for me. I really feel like, you know, I think a misconception that a lot of people that are, you know, I guess middle-aged hip hoppers have is that, you know, the music sucks and these kids only listen to, you know, this and that, and they give really poor examples. But there's a bunch of really cool kids in my classes that are like listening to Big Pun, and you know their favorite rapper is like, okay, you know, Tupac, or they like Bob Marley, or you know, Joey Badass, or some of the new really good hip hop, you know, people. Yeah. So
right.
Getting to hear their taste is pretty cool, and it's kind of funny. Sometimes I'll like find a new rapper that's like popping, and then I'll like, you know, we'll do like a lecture about them, and like they haven't even heard of the person. So it's like I go out of my way to kind of like stay relevant, and they're like, I don't even know who that is.
So cool. I just love that. I think it's so – I personally would love to connect more with the youth. I haven't – I mean, since I've been out here, I have not. So, I mean, I did a lot of that in L.A. and New York, but I really – that was so fulfilling. I'm sure you get so much just – so much back from that, especially with even one kid that, you know, is just super amped about it. It's like just that alone just feels great.
Yeah. It could be pretty emotional, you know, and kind of like what I was saying is, I never graduated high school. I had a really tough time. It was a really bad time in my life, when I was at that age. And so, you know, I got put in a bunch of different alternative schools, and then eventually I basically dropped out. So I feel like I have an unfair advantage when it comes to relating to the students, and it's just been like just an act of God that I'm in this classroom, you know. It definitely, you know, there's some bad moments every now and then, but there's it's pretty much 99% just an incredible experience all around.
Yeah.
And really got to shout out our organization, Youth on Record, which basically started with the Flowbots. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
So they had an organization where they were kind of going into treatment centers and schools and kind of providing music, but it was never really on this level that we're on now. You know, we have our own studio. We have our own basically youth center. We also employ like 20 partner artists that are all musicians that go in the classrooms. And the reason I really want to shout them out is because, you know, one of the things that I was really taught, you know, before taking on this, teaching role is to not filter our message, you know, not to, water down, you know, things for the sake of keeping our job, you know?
Right.
So I'm able to, you know, take it to a whole nother level, and we can, you know, we can even have discussions questioning, you know, the education system if it goes there, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really beautiful thing, and it's the irony is just not really lost on me in any capacity, you know.
That's dope.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, you're definitely, just because one thing happened doesn't mean something incredible can't happen on the other side, you know. It's like everybody's right. Very, very different. So I think it's just so great that you can make that full circle for yourself, and that it, you know, you're giving and getting back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's just great. Well, I hope that you never, I mean, I just have to say this. I hope that you never, I'm sure as an artist you do, but I hope you never doubt yourself, because you are just, you're such an inspiration from the business side to the party side to being motivated to giving back. And I just can't say enough about, even, I don't even know you in person, but from what you've done, I hope that never ever doubt that, and you continue on, because you're doing such great things.
I appreciate that. I think, you know, it's a challenge always to, you know, I think they call it imposter syndrome. And
imposter syndrome.
Yeah, it's something that I've kind of learned about, where it's like no matter how much you've been in it, it's like people are going to expose you for, like, you're not real because you do X, Y, and Z or something, right? And it's
It
might be like your weakness or whatever. And so I think that that's something that we all got to kind of get over. And that's something that I've been able to kind of identify. You know, I have a lot of different entries into hip hop. So, I mean, like, I basically got really into hip hop when I was 8 and tried to, like, become a DJ when I was 8, which is just crazy.
That's
you know?
Cute.
That is
right. Right. And so, but then, you know, that kind of faded away, and then I started back again when I was 15, and then I did it for a year or two, and then that kind of faded away, and then I did it for a year, and then that faded away, and then I finally kind of, like, about 10 years ago, just told myself that I was going to really do this. But then it's always like, you know, you can compare yourself to somebody that's been doing it for 20 years, right? And you're like, well, I'm not there yet, you know? And, so I guess it's just always overcoming, like, you know, obviously staying humble and staying attached to your humility, but at the same time, taking a good inventory of where you're at. And that's something I'm always working on. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Martha Graham, has a really famous quote. I'm going to say it completely wrong, but it's something along the lines that every true artist has this underlying dissatisfaction, which is why they continue to push forward. There's always, you know, it's always like, okay, I did that, but I gotta push and push. And I think that underlying dissatisfaction,
my hands up,
that's what you want to call it, is what makes people so great.
Get it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that reminds me of another quote that's like, if you're not embarrassed by the work you did, like, a few years ago, then you're not working hard enough, or you're not really progressing.
That's a good one.
Oh, I totally get that. God, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. I'd be like, yeah, don't watch that video.
Right.
I know.
That back was terrible.
But at the same time, you know, it's also good to see it as a positive thing, too. It's like, yeah, it's like, definitely glad I did it and moving on, you know?
Right. I feel like that's probably, you know, I don't really have many regrets, but I wish that I would maybe have, you know, gone out there and kind of got my ass kicked a little earlier, maybe, you know, just kind of put myself out there when I, you know, and just kind of publicly sucked, you know. I think that there's some merit to that as well, you know. So I'm trying to basically, you know, have, you know, one night a year where I really suck because stuff, you know.
Well, okay, just on that tip, we just saw Fergie have that moment.
Right.
You know, I mean, she's
right.
Everyone's talking about it.
Tried something new, and it was was horrendous and embarrassing. And she even said, she goes, you know, I tried my best, tried something new, it didn't work. And, you know, you can't, no one hates her. She gave us some good laughs, let's put it that way.
Right, right.
But, you know, we just, you got to do that sometimes. You got to do it.
Yeah. And I don't think her career is over anytime soon.
Oh, I know.
Right?
But she definitely gave us some good laughs.
And yeah.
You got to appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely.
We love Fergs, but man, whoa, that was tough to get through. That was tough.
Yeah, that was just an interesting, I guess, just an interesting choice of cadence, I guess. I don't know. She was just,
I don't know.
I don't know what was going on there.
Trying something.
Someone was comparing to saying happy birthday to the president.
Right, right.
Yeah, Marilyn,
I see that. Yeah, she was trying to be jazzy and sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, I mean, I read something that she was, so I guess Marvin Gaye did a rendition that was
oh yeah, his was the same concept, but it worked because
he's Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. He's Marvin Gaye, yeah. But
and Fergie's Fergie. Don't get me wrong, but when Fergie tries to do Marvin, it just doesn't work. You know,
right?
You.
Yeah, Marvin actually, and I read a lot about the one that Marvin Gaye did, and he was, you know, I don't know if you guys are really know a lot about his kind of background, but at that time he was really dependent on drugs and stuff like that, and he was in a really deep depression. So for him to even stand in front of an arena of people was a big deal for him at the time.
He had a really rough life, a really life.
He did.
And just incredible. But he's just, isn't his voice just, oh, it's just liquid awesomeness.
Right.
I don't really know.
And I would love to see artists kind of take the risk that he took in the early 70s by, you know, standing, you know, using his voice for change, you know. I think that would be incredible.
Well, yeah. You know, I really think these new generations that are coming up, they're so tired of it. They're so tired of things growing up in this really wonky world. And I think that I think there's going to be some really, really phenomenal artists. There's a lot of, like you were saying, AL, that a lot of these younger kids are getting into the music that we grew up with and that we're into, because they're just tired of not getting fed stuff that's nourishing.
Right.
And right. Who knows? I maybe I'm wrong, but I really am counting on these really younger generations to kind of, you know, demand and want more out of life, and you know, this mediocrity is just not going to work for them.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe it's already happening and we might just be a little detached from it, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you're right on that one.
But you know, because I don't really, it's really hard, you know. A lot of people will talk about, you know, Kendrick Lamar being such a great lyricist, and he is, but like, coming from the standard, you know, being a hip-hop fan for 25 years plus, it's good music and everything, but it just doesn't really feel like, I don't know, I don't want to, you know, throw shade or anything like that, but you know, maybe it's just time for me to just say, like, I don't really get everything, and that's okay, you know.
I totally agree. I actually, Kendrick,
yeah, everyone's got their voice,
yeah,
and everyone's experimenting, and sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah,
right.
I was like, I don't know if you know about most, speaking of Marvin Gaye, Mos Def dropped like a few years ago, like a double CD where he like paid tribute to all of Marvin Gaye's music.
Yeah.
Which was, I don't know. I loved it because I was just, it's like a nice fusion between what Marvin was doing and then, of course, what Yasin is doing. I got to get it right because he's no longer Mos Def.
Are you talking about the Yasin Gay album, Yasin Gay?
Yeah, exactly. And it was like a double.
Yeah, so I have some insight on that. So it was actually a friend of mine, a remix producer named Amerigo Gazaway.
Okay.
And so he remixed that project, and it was basically like an illegal project. It wasn't really supposed to come out like that. But it was done so good that it basically got the notoriety, and everybody really loved it, you know.
Wow.
And so it came down to one of the really cool.
It's just on like
right
Spotify and stuff. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, he's a good friend of mine. And, you know, basically one of the things that he told me about that project was, at the time, Marvin Gaye's estate was suing, I think, Robin Thicke and Pharrell for the appropriation of a certain song. Okay. You guys, Blurred Lines just got sued. Yeah. But the irony of that was, the Marvin Gaye estate loved what my friend Amerigo had done with those with that audio so much that they allowed the use of it for a iPhone 6 commercial, I believe it was.
Oh, that's great.
And so, you know, just kind of talking business with my friend, and you know, he was like, basically, you know, at the same time that Pharrell and Robin Thicke are getting slammed, you know, my friend's getting a check from Apple for this thing, you know. So it was some pretty cool irony, and that album is incredible. It's just a beautiful thing. And he actually has a new album out where he kind of mashes Stevie Wonder and Common.
Ooh.
So that's something to look for.
Oh, no, I've heard it.
Yo, you heard it?
I have, yeah.
That's also crazy.
Tell your friend, I think he's dope.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, he's incredible. You know, I've had him at a few different parties before. You know, he's come out here and play and stayed the week out here, and we can never make any good music together though. That's kind of the ironic thing.
Yeah.
Well, we like start making we'll just start making songs, and then like they'll come out, and we'll just like an hour later we'll have like a Return of the Mac remix, and we're like both looking at each other like we're never gonna put this out, bro. Right? We're like,
God, yeah. That's so funny. I need to hear the Return of the Mac remix. God,
it's pretty good.
That's
hip hop.
Wait, I'm sorry, Aaron.
I gotta do it because that's our little thing.
Yeah.
What is
it? It's our inside joke.
Oh, okay.
It's come up to him. He told me this story. He's like, yeah. So tell me what hip hop's like. And then he did like this weird pose. So every time I see him, we're always like, hey, what's hip hop? And we're standing there doing different weird poses for like 5 minutes.
Oh my God. That's
so yeah.
Going, what is going on?
I think it's a social commentary of how people kind of wear hip hop as a costume at times. Right.
Like, yeah.
Got the swagger. They gotta like talk a certain way, be and all, you know, they just, it's like.
I am actually trying to, on that tip, I'm trying to get KO to wear large shirts instead of extra large shirts. I've been working with him on that.
Nice.
How's that coming, KO?
I wear my shirts on backwards now. Wait.
Tighten it up.
Yeah, no, I'm tightening it up. I, you know.
If you want to be hip hop, you really have to wear your pants backwards.
No. Yeah, no, crisscross all the way.
Crisscross, which is
I've always dressed like this. Anyway, but yeah, I'm gonna tight. I'm gonna get some tight jeans and a mock sweater.
Not too tight.
There you go.
Not too tight.
But really quick, Ale, have you ever made any insane Prince mashups?
Well, that's a good question. The thing about Prince's music is it's really protected.
I know it is.
So a lot of his material, like that you would use as like source material, acapellas and stuff like that, they're just in the vault. You can't find them.
Yeah.
So I've reworked a couple Prince songs, but it was really basic. If you listen to Erotic City, there's something that's going on with the snare. This is really like nerdy engineer talk. But basically the snare clips, and it's basically kind of inconsistent throughout the track. So I've actually gone in there and like cleaned up one of his drum tracks, which is kind of weird.
No way. Prince would be like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Yeah, you're talking to two huge Prince
fans.
Yeah,
we're like, I mean, there's no, love for Prince. I mean, he's basically the loves of our life.
Did you feel Justin Timberlake disrespected Prince?
No, not at all. I was actually, you know, they were in Minneapolis. I thought it was kind of, it was no big deal, but I thought it was kind of a nice little,
I, on the other hand, had to wrap my head around it, but in the end, I was happy with it.
I mean, of course I see him up there and I'm like, oh my God, you know, about to sob because I'm so massively in love with him. I've been in love with Prince since I was 10 and I still think we were supposed to be together.
Wow. And I was a member of the MPG Music Club for like 10 years.
Wow.
We used to get like B-sides of unreleased music from the website like once a month.
KO, you should actually, you know, hook AL up on some, you got some really weird tracks.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I'm just really diving into to Prince's catalog because there's just so much stuff.
Isn't he insane?
Yeah.
I know.
Definitely. One of the things that I like to do when it comes to remixing is I like to find out like what equipment they were using and then like go and buy that equipment. So one of the things that's on my list right now is the Lindrum. which was what he was using, you know, on a lot of his songs, like on, you know, Kiss and Erotic City.
Isn't that
and
kind
stuff
of
like
his like famous kind of, I don't even know how to describe it, but he always has that certain kind of drum sound.
It's that specific sound. It's kind of more of a flat sound, you know, but it's definitely that 80s kind of flat and fat snare, and there's a lot of room in between, and he actually did a certain technique. A lot of people thought it was a live drummer because he would basically play his drum machine live.
Uh-huh.
Which is what a lot of people opt out of, and they keep everything quantized and basically, you know, they keep the pattern really tight. But he would opt out of it, so it was kind of confusing to a lot of people, and a lot of people kind of felt like, you know, he had there was live drummers on a lot of the songs that he actually programmed with the drum machine.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
especially in his
earlier music, I think he kind of did a little of it. Did his background, like his back.
How about this? Does it sound like this?
Yeah, that's it.
I know that's my Prince.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to do it.
I know.
All good. All good.
Oh my God. Of course, now we're going to. Subi could talk. See, this is just, this could go on for 4 hours if we get into the Prince thing. So I don't want to take away your. But I have to get going because I have to put the infamous my daughter who's gonna take over the universe. I got to get her down to bed.
Awesome.
So awesome. I'm just so thankful, and I hope that we can do this again because I'd love to hear more from you. And you know, anytime you want to come on, let us know. We can just dial you in. It's super easy.
That sounds like fun. Yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me on. This is like I said, I think the work that you guys are doing is really important.
Likewise, definitely. And I've always been a big fan. I think we had a conversation a while back, and I think I like heard you spit, and I was like, wait a minute, I gotta, you know, because Larry does that all the time, but I get shy sometimes, but like you made me hype. So, and since
Thank
then
you.
We've been friends, bro. But yeah, we'll have to get together. We'll exchange ideas.
Yeah, definitely.
And just repeat your website a couple times for the listeners.
Sure. It's futureclassicmusic.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Definitely check out the website. I mean, everything's on there to get a hold of you and see where you're at and everything. So there's really, it's just really well done. So everybody check it out. Thank you so much again for coming on to Rocky Mountain Cypher Life.
One and only.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, definitely. It was such a pleasure.
Okay, well, y'all have a great night. I appreciate it. We'll catch up with y'all soon. All right.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Take it easy, bro.
All right, peace.
Peace.
All right, peace.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.